Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com up there in Richmond, Virginia. Let's go ahead and bring the Reverend for the show, Mr. Reverend Joe, on, and let's get everything going. We got a big show tonight, and let's get Reverend on here to go ahead and bless everything. Let's bring Reverend Joe in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We need some rain down here. My grass, sounds like walking on Frito chips or something.
Uh-oh. Well, we don't have that problem here. With my house in California, I got rid of all the grass. And up here in Seattle, it rains so darn much, there's plenty of green grass. So
I
don't know what
that
to tell you. So how's the, after a 600-mile race, are you exhausted or what?
Well, to tell you the honest guy truth, a little bit, but I know Stephen Wilson is very exhausted because he covered the 100th run of the Indianapolis 500 also. So he had 1,100 miles that he covered this past Sunday. I know he could give out.
He probably had a recliner, though.
Oh, yeah. You know he did.
So shall we get started?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Reverend. You got the floor. Let's bless everything, brother.
Lord, be with us today, please. Bless our show. Bless all the racers all over the world. Bless all our troops all over the world, all of their families, all of their friends, all those who sit and wait for them. Bless our government. Bless all those involved in keeping us safe. And as we look forward to today's show, bless the show. Bless all those in it. And thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, so we'd have an easy way to get into heaven by just putting our faith in you. So be with us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Yeah!
always. Great invitation, and thank you again for being the official reverend of the Pit Stop Radio. Everybody know where they can follow you on social media and your, excuse me, and your website, and let us know if you're going to be attending any tracks in the recent future.
Well, anyone can reach me at any time at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com, and that's my email address anytime. And my website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and my phone number is 951-232-7630. Please give me a call anytime. Glad to talk with you. Follow us on the Pit Stop. We post scripture there every day, so we're always around. Glad to talk to you.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much. Hello.
You guys have a wonderful day. Betty sends her love, and have a great show.
Okay, that was our Reverend Michelle, Mr. Reverend Joe. Stephen, how you been, bud?
And not too bad. It's been a long weekend of racing around the world, so a little bit tiring, but I'm doing pretty good.
That sounds good, Stephen. Yeah, I'm having a little bit of problems with my audio. Am I sounding okay or what?
No, you're breaking up again like you were last week, right at the end of the show, unfortunately.
Okay, is this any better or is it worse?
No. You're like I said, you're breaking up pretty bad there.
We've had the announcement of the Hall of Fame for 2017. If you want to talk about that, and I'll call it on my cell phone. Give me a second.
Sure, not a problem. Yeah, we'll start with the Hall of Fame out there. Last week, the NASCAR Hall of Fame met the nominating committee and voting committee. Well, the voting committee met to nominate and induct their 2017 Hall of Fame members into the next five into the Hall of Fame for 2017, which will go in January 20th, 2017. 20 people were on the Hall of Fame this year, as in years past. The H. Clay Earls won the Landmark Award. He was the founder and track president, as well as the builder for one of NASCAR's original speedways, and the only original speedway still left, Martinsville Speedway. He won the Landmark Award. He will go into the Hall of Fame in 2017. The five that will also be inducted with H. Clay Earls will be Benny Parsons, Raymond Parks, as well as Richard Childress and Richard Childress and Rick Hendricks, along with retired driver Mark Martin. All five of them will go in next January 20th there in the Hall of Fame with their induction ceremony. Benny Parsons this year winning 85% of the vote, and Mark Martin also with substantial amount of the vote. The only original male left from the 2010 or 2009, I should say, list is Red Byron. He is the last remaining nominee from the original list in 2009 that has not been nominated or has not been voted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He was the modified champion prior to the formation of NASCAR, and he was the very first NASCAR champion in 1949 with car owner Raymond Parks. So he is the last and only original 2009 inductee left on that list from 2009 that has yet to make it in. But for the remaining five there, Benny Parsons, Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick, Raymond Parks and Mark Martin, as well as H. Clay Earls. Those all will go into the Hall of Fame next year. So to all of them, congratulations to them. It's a much-deserved honor. It's taken a fair few amount of years for some of them to get in. So, but over into the Indy side of things, which we don't normally talk about Indy sometimes here on the Pit Stop, but with the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 there and Indianapolis Motor Speedway there in Indiana, Alexander Rossi didn't think he was going to make it there to the end, but coasted in on just fumes. A rookie there, he has made his way through various open wheel ranks throughout the years out of the country. He does come from the west coast of the U.S. He hails out of California and spent some time in Nevada also, but spent a lot of time out of the country in Europe running around in open wheel cars. Formula One, Formula Three, and some other open wheels throughout Europe and Asia before he did come back and this year got into the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. So he just, fortunately for him, he just barely made it and had to be towed into victory lane by crew. That's how close he was on fuel there for the Indianapolis 500. But so a lot of racing also going on. And over on the Formula One side, which really started the day off, was Lewis Hamilton starting in Monaco out there with the Formula One GP of Monaco. A lot of racing usually happens here on the weekend. And we don't talk about this sometimes, but, with three races really in one day, and a lot of people do tend to keep up with some of these on Memorial Day weekend, which just imperative that I will just talk about some of this. And I didn't watch it myself particularly, just know who won that. Did watch the Indianapolis 500, covered that, and it was a fairly decent race. Unfortunately, a lot of drivers, they're coming to the end. It was a fuel strategy game in the Indianapolis 500. Ryan Hunter-Reay, unfortunately for him, had a pit issue getting into his teammate there on pit road, a little track incident there on pit road that put him behind. And, Juan Pablo Montoya, the defending not only Indianapolis 500 winner, but the defending Verizon IndyCar Series champion, wrecked out of the race early on. Snapped loose, got him into the wall, destroyed the car, and fortunately for him, he was okay after that incident early on, but that ended his day in the Indianapolis 500 and his defending of that in 2016 here in the 100th running. But not going off of that, we also have got a lot going on in NASCAR. I have not heard of any penalties as of yet, but it's just Tuesday night. So a lot of times NASCAR has been winning until Wednesday these past few weeks to really bring the penalties out, because NASCAR has been bringing these cars back to the R&D center, which it has been where they've been finding some of these penalties. And releasing the penalties on Wednesday.
Sound good, Steve.
So,
do I sound any better? I'm going to have to wing it. I can't call in this post with my cell phone. I'm stuck.
You sound a little bit better. Not a whole lot.
Okay. What I've done, I've cut the volume down on my headset. That might be what's drowning me out.
Yeah, you sound a little bit better.
3681. At the bottom of the hour, we've got the driver from Team Scuba and the NASCAR Championship, Mr. Ray Black Jr. And at the top of the hour, we've got Spencer Davis. Stephen, he won the inaugural TNN race up there at Dominion Raceway. Did I say that right? Dominion Raceway, right? It's not Old Dominion like it used to be.
No, it is now Dominion Raceway. It used to be Old Dominion Speedway up in Northern Virginia, but they've since moved the track a little closer to Richmond and rebuilt that track. Much nicer facility. I did not get to make it up there this weekend. They're lucky they got that race in this weekend because I'm not too far away from that racetrack, about maybe 35 minutes away. And it poured down rain solidly from 9 o'clock in the morning until late in the afternoon, well past that race. So they were very, very lucky to get that race in, I have to say.
Yeah, and I'm glad Lauren Rainier got with Spencer Davis. That's, you know, Lauren Rainier started up with new Rainier racing with MDM or something like that. Steve, him and somebody started up in the Canyons here.
Yes, yeah, so that's a new team with Lauren Rainier as well as Hillman Racing, which they have competed in the Sprint Cup Series for the last couple of years. They were a part with Circle Sport before Circle Sport did branch off and now is working with the Vaughn Family Racing. In the Sprint Cup Series, so there was a partnership there with Circle Sport and Hillman Racing there, but Hillman Racing has since that partnership is no longer there, they have partnered up with Lauren Rainier and started with him working with K&N Series team, and this was their first win as a new team this year in 2016 there at Dominion Raceway.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk to Spencer. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's really excited, especially when in the opening, the grand finale, the inaugural K&N race there. I'm pretty sure he's going to be happy. But, yeah, we've got Ray Butt Jr. coming up at the bottom of the hour, and the number to call is 215-336-31, and then from Rainier Racing with MDM, Spencer Davis, talk to us first minute, and that's our K&N Pro Series East. And, Steven, if you want to, I'll go ahead and talk a little bit of Xfinity Series stuff, and we'll bring it up at the bottom of the hour.
All right, that sounds good.
All right. NASCAR Xfinity Series. They were at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the 35th annual Heinz Sense 300. And it was 206 laps, 309 miles. The time of the race was 2 hours, 41 minutes, 54 seconds. Average speed was 114.515 miles per hour. The margin of victory for Denny Hamlin over Austin Dillon was 0.291 seconds. And like I said, Denny Hamlin won the race, Austin Dillon P2, Joe Logano P3.
Okay, we're going to hear from our race winner, and his race team has joined us here. Denny Hamlin wins the 35th annual Heisens 300 NASCAR Xfinity Series race here to drive today. Excuse me, driving the number 18 Heisens USA Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's joined by his crew chief Chris Gale and Steve D'Souza, who's the executive vice president of Xfinity and development at Joe Gibbs Racing. This is Denny's 15th career NASCAR Xfinity Series victory, his first NASCAR Xfinity Series win at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So, Denny, congratulations on this win. Certainly it was an interesting race. You were strong there early on and had a few things happen there to you, but then on that last restart, you got a couple tires, I guess, and then you were off to the races. Talk about this win here today.
Yeah, it was I thought that realistically, we probably had the best car all day. I just didn't get very good restarts. That's really the only time we would get past is on restarts. The 42 had a good long run car, I think second run of the day, and got around us. But then we started coming back to them there towards the end. So I was I really had a great car, and then obviously we had that penalty and had to go to the back. And really, I drove as hard as I could that last run. And got back up to third, but we needed a caution to get caught up, and we got it, and it worked out to where I was willing to do whatever the opposite of the guys in front of me, which that's the tough spot. It puts the leaders, but I mean, we have a Goodyear tire now that wears out, and it gives crew chiefs an option to come in here and take tires and make a charge at the end. So that's why you saw some of the great racing we saw, and it was obviously a great break for us to get that caution.
And Chris Gale, just talk about some of the moves that you all made today on pit road. It was definitely a team win here today.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think we had a good car, like Denny said, and I thought we were the strongest in the first half of the race. And then maybe we needed to adjust on it a little bit. We did, and then we lost a little track position early, and I think that kind of hurt us. But then I think even once we got, had the pit road penalty, that was the big game changer. And we still probably had the best car if you'd watched lap time. So that last run, we just happened to be restarting 16th or whatever it was, and it just took a while to get back there. But like Denny said, pretty much without that caution, we were stuck. We were going to finish third. Thankfully, you just got the caution, and then you obviously heard us discuss kind of what to do. And it's a tough situation. Yes, the leaders are sitting ducks, but we decided to come get tires. I kind of left it on Denny to decide, but, you know, it's not fair to him. Either way, it could work out or not work out. You know, if three more cars had stayed out, might have been in trouble, might not have got there. But it worked out great restarting the outside in sixth, and I think that was the key. Four tires in that restarting position, he was able to take advantage of, did a great job.
So you took four and you were starting six on that last restart. That's quite a move up through the field there. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And Steve, certainly another feather in the cap for Joe Gibbs Racing. This is the, I believe, seventh consecutive National Series points win for Toyota, dating back to William Byron's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory at Kansas. So another stout performance in the Toyota camp. And just talk about, you know, JGR, and I know you guys and gals put a lot of emphasis in that Xfinity program.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. I got to say, right before that last restart, my shirt was perfectly dry, so I was sweating bullets when they'd made that call. But I got to say that, you know, Chris and his team and Denny made an awesome call, and Denny just got up on the wheel, which has been fun to watch all these years, you know, starting early in Denny's early career. So it's really fun. You know, special win for him and for us to watch him do that. And, yeah, the partnership with Toyota has been phenomenal, and the guys at the shop, all of our teams, all three teams over on the Xfinity side work unbelievably hard together. And, obviously, the dividends are there. All three teams are running well. And so Chris has been a big, big help. He's our senior crew chief over there now. So he's been helped kind of mentor and guide those guys, and they work extremely hard and well together. And obviously, the performance on the racetrack has been demonstrating that.
We'll take some questions now for our winning team. We'll start back here with Jacob and then go to Bob and then to Stan. Jacob, Bob, and Stan.
Jacob Seelman, Race Chaser Online Performance Motorsports Network. I've got two for you, Denny. First, that last restart, four tires, restart in sixth. What's going through your mind knowing that you may not even have the full two laps to try to get to the front, but you've got to find a way, especially coming back from 16th or so after that penalty? I mean, I think we all thought you were out of it at that point.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, but our car was just fast. I mean, that helps a lot when you have a car that has speed. You know, I just caught in the moment. I forgot to tell him to make an adjustment when we did come down pit road on that last stop. You know, I knew that, you know, I would have much rather started like eighth on the outside than I would have like fifth on the inside with four tires. It gives you the opportunity to run the wide lane through one and two and make up a lot of ground, which we did. I gave the 42 a push down the back straightaway, which cleared him of whoever he was beside. And then I shot the middle of him and that other car, whoever it was, and got to second pretty quick. So that's kind of the turning point I thought of it. But, I mean, I knew we had a fast car. I was just disappointed that, you know, I lost some track position on some restarts throughout the day. So, got to get a little bit better at those. But overall, you know, the car drove like I expected it, like it did in practice. And, you know, gave ourselves a shot to win.
And
Steven, that was Denny Hamlin there in the media center after he won the Heinz-Sense 300 there. These are Toyotas. And Joe Gibbs Racing, not only in the Cup Series, but the Xfinity Series. I mean, they have won, I listened to the series the other day, and I mean, I don't know, there's so many, they've won so many races over the past couple of weeks. I mean, this Joe Gibbs bunch, they've got it figured out.
Yeah, with Joe Gibbs Racing over there in the Xfinity Series, they've won, I think. They were just talking about it here in the media center just a second ago in this. I think they've won something like the last seven out of the 11. This year already in the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, leading that contingent over there. You know, Kyle Busch has won it. Denny Hamlin has won it. Everybody on that side has already been into victory lane there. You also look over on the Sprint Cup Series side, it's the same exact way, too. They've pretty much got their entire contingent already in the chase already when it comes down to, you know, Richmond later on this year. You know, Joe Gibbs Racing seems to be the new Rick Hendrick of the new era. Rick Hendrick and, you know, Ross Racing, you know, when you look back 10 or 15 few years ago, those were the teams to beat. Those were the ones that you want to take a look at. You obviously want it to be aligned with somehow, whether it be technically or buying motors from, buying chassis from, whatever it may be. But now you take a look at, you know, everybody's starting to go over and look at JGR and Toyota, and those are the teams right now, or that is the team right now, and that is the manufacturer of preference. It looks like right now that seems to be the one on top of their game, and everybody seems to be playing catch up on.
Yeah, and also, before comparing the bottom of the hour, NASCAR made some rule changes. So correct me if I'm wrong. I got the book the other day, and the NASCAR rule book. They took inch or two or inch and a half or something off of the splitter, and they done away with the fans. I think we talked about the fans last week when we had Gene Nee, crew chief for Matt Benedetto, on. But he talked a little bit about the fans. Are they going to put the fans back, Stephen, or are they going to let them have them back, or is this a done deal? They're going to take them all away and unless they need a fan on, you know, say the tire bead at a short track.
Yeah, I think what NASCAR has done, they're now experimenting just like they did last year. They're going to experiment again at Kentucky, and they're going to experiment at Michigan. They're taking more downforce away again this year. This is going to be similar to the roll package set, almost considerably similar to what they ran in the All-Star race. You know, teams that we talked about with Jeannie just last week, a lot of these teams have gone out, and NASCAR, with the rule change that, you know, they tested with Darlington and Kentucky last year, they took about 800 pounds or so away with changing the front air dam, as well as the rear spoiler and the rear deck lid, as well as some other changes within. They took about 800 pounds away from the car. However, the teams between last year and this point already, they figured out how to get about 250 to 300 pounds back into that car already of downforce through various engineering feats already. NASCAR has already looking ahead at that game and saying that, well, they look to see if what worked in the All-Star race, if that's a way to combat that, and they're going to go and take this and actually put it in a production race again at Kentucky and then at Michigan. We're going to cut the spoilers down even more. We're going to take more downforce away. And we're hoping that the more the slip, the more the slide, the more passing that we can get is going to make for a more enjoyable race for everybody involved.
Sounds good, Steven. And we'll cover some of the Coke 600 later. But right now we've got driver for Team Scoop in the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series, Mr. Ray Black Jr. Let's bring Ray in the pit stop.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ray, how you doing tonight, boy?
Hey, Steve and Tim, how y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing great. It's been last time we had you on the show was I think sometime last year, but I talked to you at a Vegas. How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going pretty good so far. We had a not that great of a weekend in Charlotte, but besides that, I think we've had a really good season so far.
Yeah, I really wasn't going to bring that up, Ray, because after I talked to your PR, and then whatever happened, I thought, oh, God. But anyway, we've got Ray Black Jr. Ray, I don't want to keep you long, but I want to ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to throw you over to Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, were you born and raised here in Alabama, in Montgomery?
Yes, sir. I was born in Montgomery, and then I lived in Greenville for about 10, 12 years, something like that. So yeah, from there, from the beginning.
Okay. And, Ray, what really took you to Florida? I mean, once you left there, you know, you went to Florida, I think, Flagler Beach or somewhere down, which I know you love the beach, you love the water, you love boating. But why didn't you like staying in Charlotte? I'm just asking, why didn't you like staying in Charlotte where you'd be around it?
Yeah, you know, I like the Florida area a lot, man, and I've kind of spent a lot of years here now, and we have a bunch of companies here. You know, we have our dive school here and some of our scuba certifications companies. So I like to keep a good hand in those, and, I got an apartment up there, and I come up there every once in a while, and I just feel like, you know, I'm up on the road, you know, we'll leave Wednesday and I'll come home Sunday. So I spend majority of the week racing at the track and things like that. And so I feel like, you know, I get to come home for 2 or 3 days, and you know, I feel like, well, might as well just come home back to Florida and then enjoy my time off, because I'm with the team more than, you know, more than not. So I think that's fair for them. So I don't see like a big problem anyway.
You're right. Yes, I don't want to take up all the questions. I know Stephen has a ton of them too. But the broken oil line. You know, broken oil line ends Ray Black Jr. Charlotte race early. Was that? Did it? Do you think it was something before the race, Ray, or do you think it? You think it could have been called, or you think it just happened?
You know, I don't want to throw anybody on the bus. I mean, that's just kind of part of racing. You know, we had a clamp holding up there, and it just somehow broke, you know, and there was a little bit extra line or slack in the line. So once that happened, the hose dropped down and started dragging the ground, and unfortunately rubbed a hole through it and started leaking slowly. So, you know, obviously there's ways to prevent all that, but at the same time, I mean, you know, they make those cars pretty durable, and they go through them every time they get a chance, you know, and they're very thorough, and you know, mistakes happen. So, you know, we're a new team and we're building. So those little mistakes, we'll just learn from and make sure we don't do it again.
Exactly right. We're all human. Stuff's going to happen. But can you talk a little bit about the car and to let some of our listeners know? By the way, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. If you want to, not 3681, 215-383-3681. If you want to talk to Ray Black Jr., Ray, can you talk a little bit about how the car was handling, and let everybody know just how tough it is to get around Charlotte Motor Speedway?
Yeah, I mean, it's very heat sensitive. You know, the hotter it gets, the slicker it's going to get, and real greasy. So, you know, like the whole weekend, we were just fighting loose in, you know, getting to both corners. And, you know, we actually didn't, you know, we had a problem with the hub throughout the practice, and we didn't figure that out to the end of it. So, so we used kind of the qualifying session as a practice run. So we ended up making, you know, like 8 laps in qualifying, I believe, 7 or 8, and just kind of get a feel for it. So that helped us a lot. And then, you know, through the first run, you know, the first 10 laps or something like that, the caution came out. We were really free, and, you know, you're just trying to fight the track. And it's really early in the race, so you kind of – you want to – if you're really free, you just want to tighten it up, because it's easier to come off, you know, from the tightness and then it is looseness, because you're just going to burn up tires at that point. So we made a really good adjustment, and the thing was on rails. I think we had a top 15 shot. You know, the way that race was kind of panning out with the top guys, you know, having some problems, and – you know, there was a lot more caution than usual, so that helps us, you know, guys that are in the middle of the race or the middle of the pack, so we don't go as a lap down as fast. So that kind of helped us. That would have helped us anyway. And I know, you know, Garrett Smith, we got a top 15, which is great. So we were kind of playing the same strategies as those guys. So, you know, I felt reluctant to get a top 20, so I thought we could have been there, if not a top 15, for sure.
And, right, you know, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, along with the Truck Series too, have formed their chase form at this time. I mean, you know, all you got to do is win and you're in. And do you think you got a shot, Ray? I didn't mean to say it like that. If you win, you're in. You've got a chance to race for the Xfinity Series championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a fair question. I mean, a chance of winning, you know, you have to go ask one of those cup guys to jump out, I guess, every once in a while. And kind of give us a chance. I mean, you know, with where we're at right now and the point situation, you know, I don't want to get too much into that, but we have room to take a lot of chances, you know, and I think that's what we're going to start doing, you know, just gambling fuel mileage and just try to play a different strategy than everybody else. And most of the time it doesn't work out, but every once in a while, man, it could really benefit you. And, you know, at this point, you know, having that bad week and just set us back really far, so I don't see any other problem with just going for it every weekend and just getting the most out of it. So we'll probably get bit more than we bite, so that's okay. That's part of it.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. And, Ray, my final question before we hand you over to Steven. I know, you know, your time is short, but I want, if I can I leave racing behind? You mentioned a scuba diving school. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, we have opened up a school, you know, in Jacksonville, and we deal with the scuba side of it, which is recreational, and then we deal with the work side of it, which is commercial diving. So we've had our hand in both of those areas in the water sports world for a long time. And so my dad built that school back in 96, and just past the 20-year mark right now. So that's a pretty cool. So basically, you know, with the commercial side of it, we can take anybody that has any construction experience or not. We can teach them how that can go down too. And, you know, we can make you an underwater construction diver. And those are pretty cool, you know, job. You get to travel a lot and make some pretty good money doing it. And so I've done that for a couple of years in my life. And then, you know, we have the recreational diving, which is more of a fun set deal. So, you know, both of those are awesome, man. And I like traveling, so that's a good excuse too.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, I've never been scuba diving before. I might try to talk to Suzanne, maybe me and her taking a vacation sometime and coming down there and maybe going to your school. I might try it.
Yeah, well, we can set that up, man. You just let me know. I know for the July 4th race, so we raced on the Friday, the July 1st. So we got a bunch of media coming down, and we got some interview guys and stuff like that. And we're going to take them diving out in Ocala and get them all certified. And then we'll document it. And then it's pretty cool. So it's called Dive and Drive Event. So I'm excited about it. You know, kind of get to show people what we do.
That sounds good. I might have to try to get our media credentials for that weekend. I would love. But now, Ray, I don't care about no sharks now, but I don't care about no sharks.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll keep you safe.
All right, Ray. Ray, thank you very much for taking time to come on. I'm going to throw you over to Steven. I know Steven's got a bunch of questions. You can stay on as long as you want. And, Steven, I'm going to make a little pit stop. Ray, again, good luck with everything, and thank you again for coming on the show, bud. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, bud.
Hey, Ray. Obviously, this past weekend at Charlotte, and then this weekend coming up to Pocono, we're getting into the summer stretch where these tracks are going to start getting hot and slick. And we saw this past weekend at Charlotte where, you know, the tire compounds and, you know, the track themselves are going to start coming out there, and you're going to start getting bit by the wall at some of these places. And Charlotte's one of those tracks that it can happen at. And obviously this weekend we're coming up to Pocono, which the Xfinity Series has never raced at, but the Truck Series has, and you've raced there in the Truck Series. So when you look at your experience there, running in the trucks there, and now that you've been experienced in the Xfinity Series, I know a lot of drivers really can't carry over, but so much knowledge between the two different vehicles. But when you look at the two, like you've already been there to Pocono, and the heat and the summer and the tire compounds that we're going to start running, you know, getting into the summer series. Just talk a little bit about, you know, the whole Pocono weekend that we're coming up on, and, you know, just how and what your plans are to get around Pocono in these vehicles, and what your experience may be able to gain you there where some of these others that have not been there before, even in a truck.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, going to Pocono, obviously, it's a new track for Xfinity drivers, but, you know, a lot of them that have, you know, there's only a few guys that haven't raced there, I believe. I mean, you know, a handful anyway that, because the trucks go there and the cup. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to have too much of an advantage, but it'll be good for me, though, just getting there and going there twice. And this is like my third track I've ever been to. So, and, you know, there's some things I want to do better there. And we have a DNF in both races. I went there. So that's the best of races for me. But that kind of drives me a little bit more to, you know, make sure we have a good finish there and a solid one. So, you know, and I think – I don't know what the temperature is going to be up there, but I don't – expect it being too hot, and you know, if it is, that's better for us. That way, you know, kind of evens out the field a little bit, you know, that way it's not all motor, you know, there's a lot of suspension and grip comes into play, so I think that'll help us on that end. And yeah, so I have some redemption going back there, and I'm excited to get to it.
And then, you know, there's always a lot of talk over in the Sprint Cup Series side where there's been a lot of taking away of the downforce in those cars. They've changed the spoilers in the back. They've changed the front. They've changed various parts and pieces over the last couple of years to take that different downforce. Last year, I think you have heard where we were talking about last year. They took around 800 pounds of downforce away from the cars. And between various engineering fees, they got about 250 to 300 back. And this year, they're going to take them a little bit more away. And the NASCAR Xfinity side, we've not seen that or seen very many changes as far as NASCAR looking at that series is to take some of the downforce away to force some more side-by-side racing, or even to you know, force the cars into getting more similar style racing that we're seeing in the Sprint Cup Series. Is that a good thing that NASCAR has not done that yet, or do you think that maybe that NASCAR should start looking at the Xfinity Series and start taking a little bit of downforce away to start promoting more side-by-side racing and a little bit more of that style of racing?
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, the harder to drive the cars, the better off we're going to be in the long run of the sport. And I think that's what we need to be doing for our series, Xfinity. And Cup does a good job of making sure that they're making their better racing better. So there's no reason we shouldn't be doing that. We have good racing, but we can make it better. You know, a lot of long time without a caution, a lot of single file racing, and it's still exciting. But if they're going to do it, we need to do it. And truck series are always doing something, the caution clock, and those things are already hard enough to drive. So I mean, everybody's but us, I feel like doing something to improve that situation. But at the same time, they know it's best for us as drivers and their cars and all that stuff. So I think that's cool. So. But I'm sure they'll start moving in that direction eventually, and once they find something that works, so it'll be exciting.
And just a follow up to that, I mean, is that something like a conversation that you guys as drivers have? And I know the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series has kind of like a drivers council where they go to NASCAR and they talk to them, on a quite frequent basis. But is that something that you as Xfinity drivers have just said, hey, look, we would like to see some of these down here in our series to make us more competitive, or is that just something that you're just waiting for NASCAR to kind of just bring your way?
Yeah, definitely going to wait until they bring it my way, and it's exciting to see all that stuff happen. I mean, I'm real new to the sport, so, it's my second full-time year, and we're not even quarterway through it, so I'm still learning all the aspects of it and how things work. And I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the faces change each week, and you got new teams coming in, and the NASCAR is always changing, evolving. So it's really, sometimes it's a little bit much, but I think that's what we need, especially in my life. So, I definitely wait to bring it my way, hopefully.
And as you look forward to the rest of the year, there's a lot of tracks coming up, and we always talk about this, as a NASCAR Xfinity regular, you guys, there's always that one side of the coin where you want to compete against Sprint Cup Series regulars to continue bettering yourself. But sometimes when you see the Kyle Busch or the Denny Hamlins or the name your Sprint Cup guy that comes in and, runs down 180 or 190 of the 200 laps and you guys don't necessarily get a chance to compete. But you guys are going to get to come up to some races that you're going to be able to showcase your talent on. Iowa's going to be one. You're going to be able to go, and that's just for one example, but there's going to be several others that are going to be coming up throughout the next couple of months here, all the way through August, that are not naturally, tracks that Sprint Cup Series drivers really show off at. Is this good that NASCAR continues to at least show that there are races out there that you guys in that series are able to showcase your talent in? And is that something that you would like to see more of, where maybe it's just you guys and the trucks are competing on the weekend to kind of maybe showcase your talent a little more and separate yourself and get a brand identity in that series? Well, I think we have probably lost Ray Black Jr. Here. It doesn't sound like, he's not on. Unfortunately, I think his cell phone call dropped on us.
Yeah, looks like he might have dropped, Stephen. But yeah, talking about Ray, if he does call back in, I mean, Ray's he's one of these up and coming drivers too. I mean, Stephen, we've got a lot of young talent that's really coming up, and we're going to have a turnover here in the Sprint Cup Series before long. We're going to have that turnover.
Hello.
Okay, there he is. All right, Ray, go ahead, Steve.
Ray, you still with us?
I had it on.
I can barely hear.
Hello?
Hey, Ray, you got a buzz, Tim.
I think my phone's broken. I think they can hear me, but I can't hear them.
I can hear you, Ray. Yeah, he must be. He
yeah.
must be going through a bad area.
Yeah, I think he's going through a bad area there. I can hear him, but I don't think he can hear us at all. Yeah.
Yeah, he just now dropped. But yeah, Stephen, if maybe Ray will call back you whenever he gets time. But yeah, talking about it, there's a lot of young talent coming up, and I know we talk about this all the time. But I mean, you take Ray Black Jr., you take Jeb Burton, I mean, even Harrison Burton. There's so many that we can talk about, and we're coming to the point where we're probably going to have a turnover in the Sprint Cup because you know everybody's getting up in age, everybody's about my age, and I mean. Where are we going to put all these kids, Stephen? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we're going to have to start talking about is, you know, where a lot of these drivers are going to start placing themselves at here. And I think we got Ray Black Jr. back on here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and bring him on with you, Stephen. I'll step aside.
Okay. Hey, Ray,
yeah.
can you hear us now?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
But yeah, I heard your question before, and I think it's good that they have the races, you know, standalone events. I think those are awesome. And I was just saying that I think it'd be cool to have more of those, you know, because I remember in the Truck Series we went to Eldora and Gateway, and it was really cool to be the main event. So, but I do like being with the Cup guys, you know, especially when the big weekends come, like Indy and all that, and Charlotte. You know, so it's cool to have those experiences. But yeah, I feel like we could have a few more in the standalone events for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, as Tim, we were just talking, we were hoping you'd call back in. It's, you know, as a lot of you guys start to coming up throughout the series, there's a lot of talk about who is going to start retiring over the next couple of years and who's going to start taking their places. And for you as a driver, as you start to hone your skills and continue honing your skills, not only in the Xfinity Series, which is, you know, the feeder into the Sprint Cup Series, every driver is looking for their next career step, and you know, as they look not only in you as in 2016, but you look beyond 2016. You and your team, what is your path, and what do you look forward to not only this year, and what is your building block to get into the Sprint Cup Series?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's definitely not easy to break into the Sprint Cup, and there's a lot of competitive drivers. You know, on the way there that are kind of ahead of me, I guess, in seniority. If that's the way you want to look at it anyway. So, we always talk to bigger teams and, you know, just kind of, you know, make sure that we have a good relationship with them if the time ever comes, you know. And so, it's definitely not easy. And you have, you know, a lot of drivers coming up with, you know, big last names and things like that. So, it's not hard to race in Xfinity Series, you know, as far as all that's concerned, but trying to move up to the Cup, man, then it's just a whole different ball game, and you know, you're dealing with, it's all about who you know at that point and what sponsors you can round up, and it's definitely not an easy role to be a part of. And, you know, it's good to kind of have that connection of family in it, and that helps a lot. So being in my situation, not knowing anybody that well, and just kind of coming out, you know, on my own, so. Definitely a lot of work ahead of us, but I think I can do it, man. I just love racing, so I think, you know, with talent and love for the sport and passion will carry you a long way. And then, you know, just never give up.
Well, Ray, I do appreciate you calling back in to get the final few questions in here for us and everybody listening in tonight. You know, before we let you go, we always let you thank your sponsors, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media. And like I said, appreciate you calling back in, and good luck this weekend. I hope another one throughout the rest of 2016.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll throw out Scuba Life. You know, been a big part of my racing career thus far, and hopefully have a lot more better races coming up. And if you want to follow me, it's Ray Black Jr. It's all my feeds, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So hook me up on there, and looking to hear everybody's opinion and how we're doing this year. And I'll see y'all soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray. Take care, bud.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right, see you, bud. All right, that was Ray Black Jr. Stephen, he's got a, I don't know if I'm going to go down there and go scuba diving or not. He's talking about he'd take care of me, but I don't care about no shark. I don't.
Yeah, I've never been scuba diving in my life either, and there's a few sharks in water down there in Florida, but I think you'd be all right. You'd be all right. As long as you can swim, you'd be all right.
Okay, well, I'll get with Daytona International. That might be our next race. You know, we've talked about, you know, we talked about going to Watson Glen and going up and hanging out with BK Racing, but I just don't know if I'd ever go. Stephen, I mean, I'm not talking them, but I mean, I might, with that being a weekend, I might get with Susan and see if, you know, we might just fly down and get with Ray Blake, maybe go scuba diving.
There you go. Well, it sounds like fun. Go scuba diving and go down there to the Coast Air 400 at Daytona. That sounds like a weekend there. There you go.
Sounds good. And Stephen, coming up here at the top of the hour, like I said earlier, we've got the inaugural winner at Dominion Raceway for Grenier Race from MDM Motorsports, Spencer Davis. But, Stephen, if we can, we got a little bit. Let's go ahead and try to get this Sprint Cup Series in, because I know we got a lot to talk about with Spencer Davis there. So, you got the floor, bud. Let us know about the action this past weekend for the Coke 600.
Well, let's put it to you like this. Martin Truex Jr., just absolutely dominated everything and rewrote the record books. And let's see, this is just a few things in the record books that he rewrote this weekend.
We don't got a long time, so I know you're going to go. I'm sorry, but I'm carrying on. Go ahead.
I'm going to run through this as fast as I can, but this is just a few things. Martin Truex Jr., it led 588 of the 600 miles, the most ever in a NASCAR series race. All right. He also led 392 laps in the Coca-Cola 600, beating Jim Pascial, which led 335 laps going all the way back to 1967 World 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He also... Martin Truex Jr. also led at the 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, and 600 mile mark in the Coca-Cola 600. Never been done before. The number 78 driver, Martin Truex Jr.'s domination earns him a perfect driver rating, a first for any Sprint Cup Series driver at Charlotte. The race spanned 3 hours, 44 minutes, and 5 seconds, the quickest ever in the Coca-Cola 600. And the driver in Sunday's race averaged a 160.655 miles per hour for race average, the fastest in the Coca-Cola 600 event race history. All right? Those are just some of the records that Martin Truex, the number 78 Furniture Row Racing Toyota team from out there in Colorado, broke Sunday night at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Coca-Cola 600. Now, as you know, Martin Truex Jr. won the 57th annual Coca-Cola 600. This is his fourth victory in 382 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series events, his first victory in 2016, and his first victory and seventh top 10 in 22 events there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick finished second out there, Jimmy Johnson third, Chase Elliott, he's the highest finishing rookie of the race. Kevin Harvick leads the points by 36 over Kurt Busch. And there you go. Set every record in. Set the record book on fire on Sunday night.
Yes, sir, he did, Stephen. That's unreal. Let's listen to a little bit about what Truex Jr. had to say in the media center there. Actually won all these records, plus the Coca-Cola 600. Plus, punched his ticket into the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Let's listen to a little bit about the bottom of the hour for our next guest, please.
Hey, we are going to hear from our race winner of tonight's 57th annual Coca-Cola 600, and that's Martin Truex Jr. He drives the number 78 Bass Pro Shops Tracker Toyota. for Furniture Row Racing. He's joined by team owner Barney Visser, crew chief Cole Pern. And I know I've mentioned this already before they got in here, but just a couple of reminders. His 392 laps led here tonight is a Charlotte Motor Speedway record. His 588 miles led were the most in any NASCAR race in history. Congratulations, Martin Truex Jr. You just won the Coca-Cola 600. How does it feel?
Feels good. hard to put it into words, obviously. So just really, really excited for my team. Really excited that Barney was here tonight. It's the first time he's been to been at the racetrack when one of his cars has won. So that's a big deal for all of us. And Johnny Morris from Bass Pro was here tonight. We've been so close to winning for him this year, and for him to be here tonight, get to victory lane in the 600 was amazing. And just, you know, all in all, just the whole weekend was really one of them fairy tale weekends where we it seemed like we couldn't do anything wrong. And, you know, Cole and the guys did a great job with the car, obviously, all weekend, and just seemed like everything was just going the way we needed to go. And then we come down to the end of the race, and, you know, we're out there leading, and I'm like, all right, when's the caution going to come out? And it didn't, so and it didn't, so things went the way we needed them to. We had, obviously, a fast hot rod, and just thankful for that, and thanks, you know, for all my guys for working so hard and bringing fast cars. It's fun to drive them.
And, Barney, congratulations. Glad you were here tonight to enjoy this victory. This has got to be a benchmark moment for your race team.
It's good to have a driver that could get this kind of stuff done. I think Martin's as good as anybody out there right now, and it's really fun to watch.
Great. And Cole Pern, that Toyota was fast by the time you guys pulled in here Thursday. And, you know, just talk about the preparation that went into getting this race car in a position to where the driver, the car, the team, all everything combined to click here weekend. And just talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it went good once the weekend kind of got rolling. But honestly, we struggled a bit off the truck and you know, had a little bit of a rough night in the All-Star race. So, but it was good, you know, we were able to work on it on Thursday and, you know, made really gain, you know, good gains the whole time through. I think we were only like 13th in the first round and got a little better. You know, I think we were 5th in the second round and then got the pole, which was just a kind of a surprise, actually, for the day had gone. And then, you know, I felt like we had a really good plan on the race trim setup based off of, you know, what we experienced in the All-Star race. And, you know, just had a really good plan to be good in all stages of the race. And that's really what we worked hard on. So, you know, it was nice to see it, you know, come together. There was some times where, you know, some other guys were obviously really strong, and we were able to hold them off when they presented a challenge. So just really happy to get it done. I mean, we've led a lot of laps this year, especially on the mile and a half, and to get it done in the Coke 600 is really cool.
One additional note. I'm updating my stat that I recited here yesterday. This is the 8th consecutive National Series points win for Toyota. So congratulations to the folks with Toyota. They certainly on a roll right now. But we'll take questions right now. Please raise your hand. We'll start right here with Tom and then go to Kenny. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is for Barney. Excuse me, Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com. You're a Vietnam veteran. What does it mean to win the race on Memorial Day weekend for you?
Well, you know, the longer I live and the more things I experience, the more I realize how much these guys gave up. Just the older I get, the more I appreciate what they did.
Let's go to Kenny Bruce in the middle there, please, and then we'll go to Jeff Gluck.
Kenny Bruce with NASCAR.com. Martin, we're going to ignore you for a minute because I got a question for
Fine.
Barney.
Fine. He doesn't come in here very often.
I know. We never get to see him. Barney, your operation, obviously you guys have gotten better in recent years, you know, and right now you're running better than you ever have. But were there times earlier when you thought you guys were never going to get to this point and enjoy this kind of success?
You know, I really, after Toyota stepped up for us, I really felt like we were on the roll we needed to be. we would not be where we are at all right now without Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing. That's huge for us. We think we add something to all of that, and we obviously share all of our information with them. But no, I thought we'd get there. It's just been kind of a steady progress, but Toyota's huge for us.
Let's go to Jeff Gluck, and then we'll go to the front row here with 4-2.
Jeff Gluck from USA Today. Martin, you kind of mentioned this because you said that you were driving around wondering when the caution was going to come out. But beyond that, I mean, are you thinking of, like, gosh, what can go wrong this time? What crazy thing is going to happen to me? I mean, do those thoughts sort of go through your head as the laps are going on and you're still leading?
Not really, no. I mean, I honestly, you don't really think about those things. You know, you think about, you know, unless you get in situations like we caught a couple of guys on the lead lap that were still pretty fast. I think it was 31-16, and you know they were trying to hold us off, and you know it was pretty hard to pass here tonight. They were both running on the bottom, which I'd run the bottom all night, and I'm, you know, the closer I get, the tighter I get, and I'm like my front tire. It was pretty late to run, and my front tires are giving up already, and then I'm getting behind them, getting tight. You know, and then the 48's coming, and then the 4's coming, and they're catching us, and I can't do anything about it. I'm like, ah, come on, you know, here we go again. But at the same time, you're just, you know, really in those moments, all you can do is focus on what you're doing, you know, focus on how to get through the moments and ultimately figure out, you know, what it's going to take to win the race. So for us, you know, it was, we got a caution, we were able to get some tires and go on and do our thing. So you don't really think about what's going to happen usually until it happens. There was few moments towards the end of the race where I was just thinking, please, I don't want a caution, you know, but you're not really saying what the hell's going to happen this time, you know what I mean? You're not really, you're trying to stay positive and stay focused and do the things you need to do, but the last couple laps is a little bit more difficult when you know you're getting close and you just want to see that white flag and, you know, just you kind of have a finger or two crossed on the steering wheel there trying to get to the end.
And see, and that was Martin Truex Jr. there after his win, and record-breaking win there in the Coke 600. We can talk about this a little bit later. Stephen, if I can, I'm going to bring on our top of the hour guest, driver of the number 41 Chevrolet for Rainier Racing and MDM. He won the inaugural NASCAR TNN Pro Series East race at Dominion Raceway, Mr. Spencer Davis, in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Spencer, how you doing this evening, bud?
All good, man. What about you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. Congratulations on the win. And just like I said, the inaugural TNN race there at Dominion Raceway. You won it, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're a weapon, Spencer. And I'm going to go ahead and hand you over to Stephen and let Stephen go first because our other guests, we had Ray Black Jr. up and I went first, so I'm going to return the favor next to Stephen. Spencer, this is Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com in Richmond.
What's up, buddy?
Yes, I'm doing pretty good. The main raceway isn't too far away from me, and I unfortunately, I stayed home to you guys were lucky in this whole deal. I'm about 35 minutes away, and it was raining the whole time down here, and I know you guys kind of got washed out there on Saturday and Sunday trying to get this thing in, but talk a little bit about that race finish. Right there coming down to the wire, photo finish right there with Justin Hale.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to say the least. You know, I kind of knew when the 40 of Kyle Benjamin got into the scruffle right there with about 7 to go. You know, I knew right then we had a real good shot at winning. You know, I also knew the 5 was coming fast from what my spotter told me before the string of caution. But, you know, I restarted that restart. I tried to get the restart of my life, which, you know, I felt like I did pretty good on that. But I knew Justin was going to be a little bit better than us because we had had a tire issue or something in the right front that was holding us up a little bit. But yeah, I got about a 5-car length gap, and just, you know, I tried to hold on, and he got to me right there at the white flag. And, you know, it was just, to me, it was good, hard, short track racing. You know, he shoved me off into 3 a little bit, which, you know, I was expecting that. You know, I would have done the same exact thing if I was in his shoes. And, you know, we came off the corner, and I tried to hold my ground the best I can. You know, he got up underneath of me. we were side by side, fender banging for the finish, and man, it was so close. You know, honestly, right at that moment, I thought we tied 100% because it was that close.
And Dominion Raceway being such a new racetrack out there, and you guys with NDM and Rainier Racing being such a new team, and just talk a little bit, not only about being a new team, but coming to a new racetrack, and especially just the experience from the weekend and what you guys had to go through with a washout on Saturday and Sunday with qualifying and practice and everything, kind of get put into just a one-day show, which really isn't but a big deal, because most Canon series events are really just one-day shows anyway. This is kind of a little bit different because of being a new racetrack. But just talk a little bit about that, being just such a new team and coming to a new racetrack like that.
Yeah, I wasn't there Saturday. I was actually traveling to get to the racetrack because I had raced Pensacola Friday night. But everyone was there, and they got practicing Saturday. So, I feel like that it didn't really put us behind because, the team I have is real strong. And, anytime that car gets loaded in the trailer from the shop, I believe in go win right off the trailer. So, it didn't sit the team behind, but, it may have sat me behind a little bit just because I didn't get so many laps there like everyone else. So, definitely raining out Saturday may have hurt me just a little bit, but not too much, because usually I can pick up on the tracks pretty quick that we go to for the first time. But, Dominion's a real nice facility. I love the new asphalt. I love new asphalt tracks as you qualify every lap. And, it shows the fit drivers from the unfit drivers, because being on edge that long can definitely wear you out mentally and physically. And just kind of like that new track, our new team, Rainier Racing with NDM, came right out the box, real fast and real strong. I believe we finished second every race this year, besides this one, which we finished first in, which is real cool. But everyone in that shop has tons of knowledge. They've worked on championship winning teams prior hand, or have worked in the top three in NASCAR. So, every time we go to the track, we expect to win. And every day in the shop, the guys dig real hard, which is, real cool.
And being with a team and a driver, obviously you get to work fairly closely with somebody like Warner Rainier, which has been around NASCAR for quite some time. Just talk about how much of an influence and how much that he's been able to help you this season in the K&N, and how much that is going to be able to carry you on throughout your career.
He definitely helps me from, the business side of it for sure, because, he's been around so long. He's seen so many different things happen, and also just going to different tracks for the first time that, he's possibly been to definitely helps a lot also. But, it also helps when someone like him that's been around so long and knows so many people, when he talks good about you, that's something that helps a lot. So, he knows plenty of guys that that are real high up in racing, and getting to meet them through him, or word of mouth about how good we've been doing goes a long way.
Well, Spencer, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Congratulations on your win this weekend out at Dominion, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
All righty, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Steven. Spencer, can you talk a little bit to our listeners about how you actually got started? Did you start in go-karts and quarter midgets and stuff like that? Can you give us a little bit about your background, bud?
I started in go-karts at the age of 5. My father raced big cars all my life, even before I was born. He was a first-generation driver. So, I kind of think in the back of my head, he definitely wanted to keep the continue the legacy that he kind of built around short track racing, and, try to help me move on to where, he didn't. But he, I believe he kind of tripped me a little bit into racing. We were going to watch one of his races, and, he just so happened to drive by a local go-kart track, and, he decided just to stop on in and let me see what go-kart racing was all about. And, I saw kids my age racing, and I, from that moment on, I was hooked. So, you know, we'll fast forward a little bit to 42 National Go-Kart Championships. 500 go-kart wins later, he put me into a pro truck that he actually raced and built himself with help of some racing family friends. And, you know, we had real good showings in it. I think we won one out of every three races we raced in that truck and collected like 25 wins. And then we moved up to pro and super late models where I've collected quite an amount of wins. I think I've collected about 20 wins in them too in my recent years of racing. But just last year, I made my first K&N start with NTS Motorsports, the number 20 car. That was a five race deal, which, you know, was kind of my first real good break in racing because it really helped me showcase my talent and top-notch equipment.
Yep. And Spencer, talk about, you know, like super late models as far as the dirt. You know, we've got Talladega, excuse me, we've got Talladega short track here, just adjacent to Talladega Speedway. I mean, you know, as far as racing on dirt versus asphalt, how much of a transition is it for a driver to go from dirt to asphalt?
You know, I wouldn't 100% know because I raced asphalt super late models. But what little dirt experience I have, it's actually quite, you know, there's similarities and there's differences. So, you know, it's kind of hard to explain since I don't have much dirt background.
Okay. I did not know that, Spencer. But going in, I don't know if Stephen covered it earlier, you know, going into your career, which is really young right now, and I'm going to say it again, you won the inaugural K&N Pro Series race there at Dominion Raceway. I mean, you know, that's something can't nobody take away from you, but as far as maybe moving up from K&N to maybe ARCA or maybe Xfinity, have you had any contact with anybody?
No, haven't been in contact with anyone, but I'd definitely like to move up to the Camper World Truck Series, you know, after this season. You know, the whole goal this season is to go out here and win races, you know, which definitely helped break the ice for winning Dominion. But, you know, it was to win races and go chase after that championship, which is still very realistic for the 41 team. And, you know, after that, you know, you got to take it one step at a time. You know, it'd be awesome to get a call, get a truck ride, but, you know, you got to take what you can get. And I'm definitely not going to be picky in racing because you can't shut any doors down that you might later regret.
Right. And Spencer, can you touch a little bit about on how you and Lauren really got together and how Lauren started the team and everything with all your deal going on this year? And this has turned out to be a heck of a damn ride, bud, with Lauren starting this team up.
They had started announced the team kind of at the end of the K&N season, kind of during that silly season, off season right there. And, you know, at the time we were searching for a ride because we had, you know, our team we were going with shut down, and me and my crew chief, we were kind of looking a little bit frantically because I think it was only 30 days before the season opener at New Smyrna. And, you know, we'd heard about Lauren having a team, and he actually had contacted my crew chief, Doug Howe, to get in contact with me and my father. And so, I drove all the way up to North Carolina from Dawsonville, met up with Mr. Lauren from right then. You know, I kind of knew that was the team I kind of wanted to be with. You know, it was definitely an awesome opportunity, knowing that, you know, you kind of get to build with a new team. That's real nice, and also just the amount of history that everyone has in this team. You know, all the crew chiefs have won multiple championships and, you know, in different series, and also have been really accomplished drivers themselves.
Yeah. And Spencer, I want to thank you again for taking time out to tomorrow's show. And just like Steven and I, we always let everybody that comes on the show, you got time to thank your sponsors and let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, but you got the floor.
Oh, yeah. You know, first off, I'd like to thank my father. Without him, none of this wouldn't be possible. You know, he takes a lot of sacrifices to let me race, definitely on his end. And also, you know, I'd like to thank my crew chief, Doug Howe. Without none of this would be possible either. Also, you know, my my car owner, Laura Rainier, Matthew Miller, and Doug Fuller. Those guys are they're great people to race for, as well as my great sponsors. You know, first one has to be my dad. Without him, like I said, it wouldn't be possible. But also, Rude Heating and Air, they've been with me for so long, and it's so cool to get them a win in K&S Series, as well as Fever and, you know, IVI Vision Wear, Sparco, and just everyone that helps me. There's so many people that help me between the shop and also the sponsors. You know, it's kind of hard to name them all.
Yeah, I understand, Spencer. And, again, congratulations on the win this past weekend, and I hope to meet you one day. Maybe we can see you here at Dagger, or maybe somewhere else up around Stevens Place, up around South Boston or somewhere. Maybe we can run into each other. And don't be a stranger, Spencer. We would like to have you back on the show at a later date also.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely thank you guys for congratulating me on the win. Hopefully we can meet up sometime. Hopefully I'm down there in Talladega racing one of the top three series, or I'm down in South Boston.
There you go. And just to let you know, Ray Black Jr. invited myself and my wife, Suzanne, down to do some scuba diving or something. He said they're doing a media deal before the Daytona race, July the 4th. And I said, Ray, I don't care nothing about sharks. He said, well, come on down. We'll take care of it. So I don't know if I'm going scuba diving with Ray Black Jr. or not.
Hey, man, it's always a new experience. You never know.
There you go. Exactly. Spencer, thank you very much. Tell Lauren we said hello, and good luck on the rest of the season. We'll be in touch, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. All right, Steve, that was Spencer Davis. One inaugural. I can't say inaugural, which it was the inaugural T&M race there at Dominion, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I mean, just like I don't know. I mean, that's sort of cool having the inaugural race winner at a racetrack on. I mean, you know, we've never had that.
No. Nice having that. I'll have to get with Edwin Pardue. He's the GM up there. Me and Edwin go back quite a few years, and see if I can get him to come on one night and talk about Dominion Raceway. He'd probably get mad at me because I haven't been up there to visit that nice facility that he's put together. But I hope he'll understand as to I didn't feel like that.
We had him on a couple of years ago, I think, Stephen. Whenever they were building the thing. Yeah, you had him on.
Yeah, I know, but I told him that we would get him back on here before they opened this thing back up, and we hadn't done it yet. But
we've been today going busy, Stephen, and I'm back to work. Today I hate to break in, Trent. I went back to work today. Hello. I'm back at work. The longest day of my life.
Uh-oh, you better watch out. You know, everybody's scattering because they see you back at work, and they got to go get some work done, right?
Yeah, they're going to go do the work. I'm going to sit there and push the pencil.
that's good.
But Stephen, an awesome show. We had Ray Black Jr. here, some good thoughts. And this was a last-minute deal with Spencer Davis I set up through Lauren Rainier. Glad to have him on. But let's see, where are we going this weekend, Steve? I ain't got
Pocono.
I ain't got nothing.
Go to Pocono.
Suzanne, that's right, Pocono. Do you have the TV times and radio times? I don't. I have not, because I had to go back to work today. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I had not pulled them up, but. You know, it takes me just a second here to get them pulled up because, I can't. This is the first weekend that we've ever run an Xfinity Series race up there at Pocono, so that's going to be kind of neat to get an Xfinity Series. But anyways, NARCO's racing up there this weekend, too.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're racing up there. They're racing up there on Friday. So we've got a 3-day weekend going on up there. ARCA Series qualifying, 1:45 on Friday afternoon. NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualifying will follow that at 4:15 immediately following that. ARCA Series racing, 80 laps, 200 miles at 5:45. This is on Friday. Saturday morning, 9:05. It's an early morning. NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying. First time the Xfinity Series has ever raced there at Pocono. Followed by at 1 p.m., 100 laps, 250 miles for the Pocono Go Green 250 out there. And then on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, by the way, NASCAR Xfinity Series and the ARCA Series and Sprint Cup Series, all of them will be on Fox Sports 1 this weekend. Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., 160 laps, 400 miles, Oxaleta 400 from Pocono Raceway. So that's your schedule this weekend, FS1, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sounds good, Lou. Thank you very much. Because like I keep saying, my first day back at work, it seemed like it was ever. But anyway. All right, Stephen, just to let everybody know, next week I'm working on Kevin LePage. I think Kevin LePage wants to come on, I don't know if it's next week or the week after. Kevin LePage wants to come on the show. He has an announcement he wants to make, and I hope he breaks it on our show. I don't know if he's going back racing or what, but Kevin LePage wants to come on. And then the Tuesday night before Michigan, our good friend Jerry Bonkowski wants to join us again. So, Stephen, we're going to – yeah, I mean, Jerry's awesome, man. Kevin LePage, I've been talking to Kevin. Kevin, he won't tell me what all's going on, but he said, Tim, give me a couple of weeks. I got something going on. And he won't tell me. I don't know if it's driver-related or him doing a thing. I don't know. But he has some breaking news, and I think he's going to definitely break it on the pit stop, Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. So, that sounds good. And with all that said, Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, your website. I'm going to play a song, and we're going to say good night from Vegas. You got the floor, brother.
Well, we need to get Roger Curtis to come on with Jerry Bronkowski, the president of Michigan. He's always a fun interview. I don't know if we've had him on before, but he's
we hadn't. See if he did.
We haven't had Roger on before. Oh,
I don't think we have. I know we had Ed. We've had Ed Clark from Atlanta. We've had Jimmy Small. We've had a bunch. I don't think we've had Roger.
Roger hasn't been on yet. All right. Well, let's see if we can get Roger to come on here. He's always a fun interview. I've interviewed him before, and let me tell you what, he's fun. He's fun to interview, and let's get him on with Jerry Bronkowski. That's sure to be a rather lively conversation.
It'll probably be like when we had Grant Lynch. Larry McReynolds on. Me and you might as well just sit back on the back and let them talk football.
Exactly. So, let me see if I can work on getting Roger Curtis to come on here, talk about Michigan and Jerry Bronkowski at the same time. I think that would be a good time, and that would be a good deal.
That would be awesome, buddy. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, and I'm going to play a song at the end after you let everybody know where to follow you on your website, social media, live in the Hall of Fame in honor of Mr. Benny Parsons. A good friend, Benny Parsons, made it. Stephen, you got the floor, buddy.
You follow us at Speedway Digest, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com. Dustin Albino will be in Pocono this weekend covering all the races Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the ARCA and Xfinity and Sprint Cup Series. So follow everything on social media. He'll have everything up this weekend from the track. So thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you next week.
You're welcome, bud. Y'all be safe till AM and the boys. We said hello, and we'll see you next week, bud. Live Talladega, Alabama. We're going quiet.
The greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest, you can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk to God, go banging on his door, you can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, you can move a mountain, you can break rocks, you can be a master, don't wait for luck, dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
smile. You could be the hero, you get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're dead. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.